We've all heard it. Eat healthy. But what does eating healthy mean? Sure, there are countless diets out there, but they contradict each other. Yet all experts agree we should eat a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. Whole fruits and vegetables are the perfect fuel to power the cells in your body, giving you the stamina you need to handle your day-to-day activities. And that's what Balance of Nature is. Whole fruits and vegetables delivered to you in a convenient capsule form for only 22 cents a serving. Our proprietary blend has no additives or fillers, just the full nutritional value of a variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables. Balance of Nature provides you with a natural energy boost without a caffeine crash, a 3 o'clock slump, or an early bedtime. Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself by going to balanceofnature.com or by calling 1-800-246-8751 and use discount code KATE.
R. After listening to the last presidential candidate, the only nice thing we can say is that we do love how the Earth rotates. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to other two American journals.
Do you have any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
At CBS, we had been contacted by the CIA. As a matter of fact, by the time I became the head of the whole news and public affairs operation in 1954, ships had been established, and I was told about them and asked if I'd carry on with them.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to the National News Services, AP and UPI?
Well, again, I think we're getting into the kind of detail, Mr. Chairman, that I'd prefer to handle in executive session.
Hi there. Welcome. Kate Daly Show here. Hope you're having a rockin' Thursday. And let me just tell you, that was from the 70s when they did the hearings on this. And CIA and the media, oh, you bet, since the 1950s. Oh, and if you ever wonder why the media is bought and sold, well, there you go. Trained and put out as journalists, editors, you name it, anchors. Hi, Anderson Cooper. And all kinds of people in our press that are all CIA. So fun. Uncle Milty, hi.
Hello. Don't ask me anything unless we go into executive session.
Don't ask me. I will not answer anything unless it's private, confidential, and never be spoken of again. We welcome Chris Ann Hall to this show, and I love Chris Ann Hall. She's our constitutional national expert and attorney. Has been on TV numerous times and also trying to educate the public at large by traveling pretty much her whole life. I mean, it's a lot of travel, a whole decade of traveling and speaking, and we really appreciate her efforts. Welcome to the show, Chris Ann Hall from The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Ah, thank you so much.
You
so always
bet.
Great to be on the Kate Daly Show every Thursday.
Yeah, I love it. You can go to katedalyradio.com. We're over 1.5 million listens, and it's such a fun trip. I'll tell you that. And Chris Ann Hall Show is amazing too. You got to check out Chris Ann Hall. .com. And, you know, in that clip, it talked about the CIA being part of the media. And now we have social media, which they're very much a part of social media, too. And we have this bought and sold media that tells one story and tells you what to think and who to like. And so does Facebook. And I was just banned from commenting on public sites until December. And I know that you've had you've seen your fair share of issues with public social media as well. And so let's talk about the DOJ and what should be done and what shouldn't be done, and church, religious things. Mark Zuckerberg said the Lord's Prayer is even violating standards of Facebook. So I'd love for you to weigh in on that.
Well, you know, what's really crazy is that it really is a bunch of doublespeak, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we have is the Department of Justice engaging in the enforcement of a federal act that's not a delegated federal power. So you can do what you want. You can like it. You can hate it. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We didn't delegate any authority to the federal government to create antitrust laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where they're going after Google, right? So they're going after Google for being an illegal monopoly, buying up 260 companies and mm-hmm. monopolizing the search industry or what have you. But the thing is that people want to see more. And if we actually were honest about how real accountability should be taking place, it should be taking place at the state level. And if it were taking place at the state level, I'm going to tell you what, you would have a serious check and balance on these corporations, because now they just have to worry about tying up the federal government, and it's all the Hawaii show anyway, because it was the federal government that helped create these people. Mm-hmm. It's the federal government who made them winners over mm-hmm. their competitors, and it's right. the federal government that benefits most from their existence. So the idea that the federal government, even bar, is going to do something to these entities
to their own
is
creation,
laughable.
Do something to their own creation.
Right. I mean, there is no in the existence of all time, there is no more complete intelligence gathering capability than in these social media platforms,
right.
which is why the federal government created them. There's no way they're going to do anything about that.
So if you could prove that the government was running these, because we all know they were started with InQtel and all kinds of CIA funds, and then, of course, they became very popular because of that same money being used, which is our money. And so if that's the case and you can prove that, then it would become a freedom of speech, because they're just doing it through what people perceive as a private organization, right? That is acting like a government.
I think that the fact that they, you know, we have this public and this private mix really makes the whole conversation difficult. You know, I mean, it's just the problem is not whether they're engaging in suppression of freedom of speech. The problem is that they don't exist in a real definable category.
Yeah, right.
They claim they're private so we can make these rules, and then they hide behind the government and the government's protection of what they do.
Right.
I mean, the whole idea of Section 230C of the Federal Decency Act being used or anything like that to come against Facebook or Twitter is also ridiculous, because it's Section 2 of the Federal Decency Act that actually creates the protection which keeps them from any kind of real civil liability.
Yeah.
So the Decency Act says that these platforms or these publishers can't be held civilly liable when they make decisions to stop the broadcast or the dissemination of information that they, and it gives a laundry list, and then it ends with this whole boilerplate statement, or otherwise deemed offensive by the platform.
Mm.
So that's how Zuckerberg mm-hmm. and talk about how the Lord's Prayer violates mm-hmm. their standards. Well, of course he's going to say that, because now the Federal Decency Act protects him from excluding that, and nobody can actually sue him for licensing violations.
Right.
For me, I'd rather see, I mean, seriously, an FEC investigation of these entities than the DOJ. I mean, these people are seriously manipulating the election now through their, and it's intent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do an investigation and you show that their intent
mm-hmm. yeah.
is to silence a platform to influence the election. Why are you excluded until December? Because then the election is over.
Right.
So, you know, and that's where we are. You now have USA Today that has taken out this full-page color ad about how the USA Today is breaking decades of tradition and uh-huh. actually endorsing Biden-Harris mm-hmm. and condemning the vote of Trump. Now, at that moment when they did that,
mm-hmm.
they ceased being media and became a political PAC. So we need an FEC investigation. How much money did they just donate to the Biden campaign
right.
for this full page ad.
Right.
You know, I mean, these are the kind of things that need to be investigated, not antitrust.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's funny, those hearings that I played in the beginning, that took place 20 years after they had that major infiltration, starting with the Washington Post and ever since then, and then into the major media like CBS and everywhere else. And we haven't had any hearings since. And it's kind of interesting that we haven't. And here it's been all these years and still nothing, you know. And so
your question is this, Kate,
mm-hmm.
what happened after they had the hearing?
Yeah, nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
So I'm not a fan of these hearings. These hearings are ludicrous.
Yeah.
They give people the impression that something's happening when nothing ever happens.
That's true, because...
And so they're just a bunch of dog and pony shows to appease the people to make them think that the government's actually doing something.
That's so true. When George Bush was running for president, senior, he was asked about that, and he said, well, they're, you know, voluntary. So we don't have to talk about it. Okay. Because he was asked if they were still doing it, you know. Oh, boy. Okay. So social media, you basically just have to get off. If you don't like it, you just basically have to get off of it and not depend on it for, you know, because they're telling people left and right that liberal media wins. Anything you want to bring in, even common sense, even if you're citing their own stuff, they are the software. It's not really fact checkers. It's software that picks up on words. The software is after you, right? And does it automatically. So...
Well, but that's not even true either, because, you know, I mean, they let the media give all their and the pro stance people say the exact same things that the other people saying about the other side. So it's, you know, it really is election manipulation. It's political manipulation. And here's the thing. Yes, Facebook and Twitter could say, hey, we're a liberal hack page. We're not going to accept any opinions that are not a liberal hack. You know, support our liberal hack agenda. But the problem is that their policy guidelines say the exact opposite.
Mm.
And so we should be able to sue them for licensing violations. But because the Federal Decency Act, which we never delegated to the federal government to define what decency is, protects them in their bias by simply saying they are inappropriate, you know, this speech is inappropriate for our and offensive to our platform. So the federal government's protecting these entities through the Federal Decency Act, and we're supposed to think now that the Department of Justice or Congress is going to give them a tongue lashing or a talking to. It's just simply
after they're protecting.
It's all rhetoric. Nothing's going to change.
Yeah, it'll only get worse. I think actually. I mean, I only see it getting worse. So we're just giving them.
Well, why are they silencing everybody until December? Because this is happening on YouTube. I have friends who have been told that their accounts are suspended until December.
Yeah.
I'm off Twitter. I have no idea. They haven't even told me if I'm ever coming back.
Right.
Because Zuckerberg told us, he gave a whole interview on Axios about how the public needs to be prepared for an election that is less than credible. He says we need to be able to publish a consensus on the results of the election and not have to deal with false narratives.
Okay. I do have a question for you off the air. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show. Be right back.
Open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. But why puzzling you with the nature of my name?
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You're listening to you today. Welcome, Chicago, Alabama, Portland, everywhere, and happy to have you tuned in. Of course, go to katedalyradio.com, get the podcasts. Over 1.5 million people have listened into the recording of the live show. This is the live show, and grateful to be on the air. In fact, share those far and wide. We really need to educate America, and there's few shows out there that have the ability to share truth daily, and that's what we strive to do here. Thank you to Chris Ann Hall. In fact, we talked on the break. Next week, Chris Ann Hall is going to run through the timeline of the election process, the Electoral College, when they meet. She mentioned that I was banned. You know, we were banned from Facebook and commenting on Facebook on other people's sites for until December 17th, and there's a big reason for those dates. And so we're going to go over the timeline. What happens if the Electoral College doesn't do what they're supposed to do, what happens January 3rd, who's out of office, who's in office, just a complete rundown. We'll do that next Thursday. So I just wanted to make sure you guys knew that we were going to cover that next Thursday. But I do know a lot of people are feeling the heat of this social media nonsense. Today they did part of my information that I actually cited from the CDC, because I was using the CDC against themselves. And when I even cited the CDC, they actually said it was false and sent me an explanation from mainstream media as to why it was. Oh, you guys, these are just such well-laid plans and such a fiasco. And I hear you when you say you're so frustrated with social media. It's terrible. And we're going to have to get out of it. It's really what we're going to have to do. But we're all sucked into it right now. What are we? It took us a decade to all of us get on social media. Is it going to take us a decade to get off? But certainly there are things like this that are dragging our society down in the way of information and what information and kind of information we get. And it's very, very controlled information. So I feel like we're working against the Nazi Gestapo or the Chinese Communist Party in trying to even tell the truth, even on your own Facebook page that you think is private. It just doesn't work that way anymore. I have Uncle Milty with me.
Hi.
We're going to be talking with author Steve Wahlberg. This is a new book, Approaching Armageddon, and it features apocalyptic expert on History Channel, National Geographic. You've been all over the place, Steve. I love this. And you've studied biblical prophecy for over 40 years. So those of you that understand, have a Christian background, or understand this topic are going to probably love this segment of the show, because, you know, we don't cover this daily, but I always find it very intriguing when we do, because a lot of us have studied this. I mean, if you my saying is, you always, we know the story, we know what's written, right? And so why are we even surprised, right, by the events of the day? Welcome, Steve Wahlberg.
Yes, thank you, Kate. Greetings from North Idaho.
Oh, awesome.
Thanks for having me on. I was listening to one of your recent podcasts, and you said you were thinking about moving to South Dakota. And I thought, hey, you should consider North Idaho. It's beautiful up here.
There you go. I mean, people are crowding into these states because they're looking for some freedom. It's kind of amazing to watch what's happening. So you've got an influx going into the Midwest, too. You've been studying this for a long time. When you were putting this book together, the overall message? What were you trying to get to people that you felt like they weren't understanding? They just weren't getting in message.
Yeah, I think the main message is that as we look all around the world and see all the craziness that's happening right now,
right.
The list just goes on and on, the pandemic and the riots and the anger and the rage and the social media and, you know, the shutdowns of free speech, that really what we're seeing is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy around us. We're seeing a cluster of signs that point us to the fact that we are approaching the big day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't set dates, but this is my field. You probably heard of Bill Nye. He calls himself the science guy.
Oh, geez.
I consider myself the prophecy guy. This is what I've been studying for years. And so I wrote the book to enlighten people to what's going on.
Wow. So identifying America as the lamb-like beast, as far as that goes in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, what do you mean by that? Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Sure, yes. In the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible, it's the great book on prophecy. It talks about all kinds of different things, Armageddon, dragons, beasts, all just a whole variety of things. And in chapter 13, there is, in verse 11, and I'll read it to you, I've got it right here, John said, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon." And that's just a very intriguing passage, and
it is.
I have been studying this for years, and I can give you my reasons as we go on, but I'm convinced that this beast is a symbol of America.
Okay, so tell me, speak like a dragon. What are you pulling from all of these phrases? Because it's so much, there's some, symbols here, there's some metaphors here, there's all kinds of, graphic descriptions. People don't know what to quite do with, a saying like that. So I'd love to hear what you're pulling out of that.
Sure, and let me also just preface this by saying that there's a lot of prophecy teachers that are out there that if you ask them, does America play a role in biblical prophecy? They say no. I've heard this many, many times. I completely differ with that view.
Right.
In order to interpret this verse correctly, like you said, there's a lot of symbolism. The Bible in Daniel and Revelation, many times it explains what the symbolism means. So, for instance, when it talks about a beast coming up out of the earth, Revelation 13 has many different passages that link it to Daniel chapter 7 in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And in Daniel 7, there's four beasts that Daniel saw in a dream. He saw a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a dragon-like beast with 10 horns. And then there's an angel that interprets what these beasts represent in verse 23. Daniel 7:23 says, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth." So the angel said beasts are kingdoms, and historically, and most prophecy scholars agree to this, that those four beasts in Daniel 7 represent Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So when you apply the same principle to Revelation 13:11 about this new beast, what John saw was another great nation, like Babylon, Persia, Greece, or Rome, and this nation was coming up, and the Greek literally means it's coming up like a plant gradually. It comes up out of the earth, and when you keep reading the chapter, it's clear that it comes up down near the end times, not in ancient history, and the earth represents a territory that is not not full of different people. In Revelation 17, verse 15, it talks about water and how water represents people, multitudes, nations, and tongues.
Mm-hmm.
So in contrast to water is earth, which is sort of a more of a wilderness area or an unpopulated area. So you have another nation rising up like a plant down near the end times out of a sort of a wilderness area. It has two horns, and these horns have no crowns on them. Like the first beast in Revelation 13, there's actually two great beasts. One comes from the sea, one comes from the earth. And the first beast has crowns on its horns, which represent kingly power. So this new beast has a division, two horns, a division of power within its government without crowns, which means it's not a government that is ruled by a king. It's more democratic. And it says that the two horns are like a lamb, and ultimately the lamb is Jesus in the Bible. And in Matthew 22, verse 21, Jesus said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God give the things that are God's."
Right.
There's a whole context there, but Caesar represents government, and the things of God represent religion. And I've studied a lot of history. I'm a real history buff. And history tells us that the principle of Jesus in separating the things of Caesar or government from the things of God or religion, that was actually the main principle that worked its way into the United States Constitution, into the Bill of Rights, that denies government or Congress the right to enforce and establish religion. And so that principle of separation of church and state is the Lamb's principle, and that's what we see in America. So when you build point by point by point, and I've got another little book on this called The United States in Bible Prophecy, I build my case that this new nation rising up out of a wilderness area down near the end of time like a plant with a separation of power, with horns without crowns, that is like a lamb separating government and religion, that the United States fits perfectly.
I'm with you on this, actually. I've read some books on this. I'm actually with you on this. Absolutely. Uncle Milty?
Just am curious if you would recommend reading The United States in Bible Prophecy before this book, and then read them both kind of in unison.
I don't think it makes a difference one or the other. I definitely recommend reading the book. Approaching Armageddon is more of Prophecy 101. It looks at prophecies fulfilled in the past, like when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That was predicted 700 years before he was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so Approaching Armageddon looks at how there have been many credible historical biblical prophecies that were fulfilled in the past. And then based on that, it goes up to our present day and shows that there are other prophecies. There's a whole cluster of them that show us what's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are also prophecies about the future, the Battle of Armageddon, the final triumph of good over evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what basically Approaching Armageddon is all about. And it's sort of, it introduces someone to prophecy and what's happening. And then the United States in Bible Prophecy, that other little book, it's a smaller book, it's a pocket book, it's an easy read, someone can read it in one sitting. It goes farther into the book of Revelation and looks at verse 11 in chapter 13 and examines who is this beast coming up out of the earth with two horns like a lamb.
Interesting. Because the term Grisha, what do you think that means? Because I think I've read so many different analysis of that, and that they might mean the United States when they're talking about that.
Well, Grisha, as you mentioned that, my mind goes right back to Daniel 8, where Daniel saw a ram and a goat and a horn and a number of horns, and then an angel starts interpreting that to Daniel, and he said that the ram represented the kings of Media and Persia, and that the goat represented Grisha.
Right.
And then the first horn was the main king of Greece, which was Alexander the Great.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel 8 takes you down through history like Daniel 2 does.
Right.
And Daniel 7 does, where you've got Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and Daniel 8 fills in more details. And then when you finally get to Revelation, it fills in more details and introduces this new beast who comes up out of the earth down near the end of time.
Interesting, because when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about where Persia stands in the Middle East. People are always have their eye on the Middle East as far as when they're thinking about end times or thinking about the topic of which you wrote. And also the peace agreement between, we were told there was a peace agreement between Israel and the UAE. And so I want to talk about that as well, because people have all of these questions about where do we fall on this timeline right now? What has been done? What still needs to happen? And of course, a lot of people, for a lot of years have been, all this is coming down in a year or 2 years. And I've always thought, no, it's farther out than we'll ever, than what we think. But I want to get your take on that, Steve. Author Steve Wahlberg, we're going to come right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be talking about this. I've got Uncle Milty with me. What a fun show. Be right back. And KateDalyRadio.com.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Get over to Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is an awesome product. I talk about it a lot on my show, and I wouldn't talk about it if I didn't love it. And I'll tell you, you were even talking about it, Uncle Milty. We were talking about it before we came on the show today, because it really does. You can feel the difference.
Yep.
What are you waiting for, right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel better?
Better.
Not even paying him to say that. See? I'll tell you something. It really is a fantastic product. 31 fruits and vegetables. Dehydrated down, clean product. Oh my gosh, the very best fruits and vegetables. And no GMO, no chemicals, nothing. Just the straight up product. And you get that down. They take out the air and water, give you the nutrients. You take it every day. There's a fiber drink that goes along with it. Chock full of minerals, turmeric, you name it, it's in it. Stabilizes blood sugar. It's an awesome product. Why are you waiting? Get it. I'm serious. Put the code in Kate, K-A-T-E. You can get 35% off and free shipping. So there's no reason not to try it. It's guaranteed. Try it out. Just try it. Just see how you feel after about a week to 2 weeks. It really is good. And the one thing you do have control over is your... Well, honestly, in this hour, I could add this too, but you have control over your own spirituality and you have control over your health. So make sure at least those are at optimum levels, right? So welcome back. I have author Steve Wahlberg on with me, and I'll tell you something. He's written a fantastic book, Approaching Armageddon. There's a lot of people, I don't care if you're the strongest atheist in the room, if you're listening to this show, I don't care if you're a religion or not or whatever, you're still interested in this. You have to be, because this is our history. This is such a historical book that why are you not paying attention to this, right? So a lot of people looking at the events of the day are very concerned and watching things that have been spelled out eons ago start to happen. And I can't wait to talk about some of these signs, because people are noticing this. We're noticing the crazy, right? Okay. So first thing I want you to address is Persia, what that is today, because it goes by a different name today, and also the events in the Middle East and Israel, how that's affecting us right now, as far as the timeline.
Persia, in the Old Testament, today is modern Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It's that basic vicinity. And there's a lot of places in the Bible that are mentioned that have counterparts to today. The question is, what is their present role in prophecy, if anything? As far as the Middle East goes, I mean, I've got another whole book that deals with that topic, and there's a lot of different verses to look at. But I'm convinced that God is still working with the Jewish people. He has a plan for Jewish people. He has a plan for Gentiles. He has a plan for all of us. He loves us all,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to bring us into harmony with himself through Jesus. I'm a strong believer in Jesus Christ. I know there's atheists out there, like you said, and in my book, Approaching Armageddon, the first three chapters build a solid, historical, credible base on the fact that there are real prophecies that have happened in the past, such as Jesus predicting that the temple would be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
40 years later, Jerusalem was surrounded by armies, exactly like he said, in 70 AD.
Mm-hmm.
It was demolished and not one stone was left. And that happened exactly. Daniel 2 talks about the rise and fall of nations, Babylon,
mm-hmm.
Persia, Greece, and Rome, the division of the Roman Empire, and Europe is still divided to this day. And there's a lot of scriptures. And so when we look at what's happening now, in Matthew 24:7, Jesus talks about pestilences like
mm-hmm.
the pandemic, the coronavirus. The Bible talks about deadly natural disasters
mm-hmm.
like earthquakes and fires like what we're seeing in the western U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and in Australia not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's other places about rage and anger among the nations in
mm-hmm.
Revelation 11:18, and we can certainly see that now. Sexual immorality like the days of Lot. Violence like the days of Noah. Global pollution, that's in Revelation 11:18, and
hey,
the list goes on and on.
Sin, like God at Sodom and Gomorrah.
That's right, exactly, exactly. And another big one is mm-hmm. in Daniel 12, verse 4, it talks about how in the time of the end, which is a period before the end,
mm-hmm.
it says knowledge would increase, especially of God's book. And for most of human history, people did not have access to Bibles. It was in a language they couldn't understand or they couldn't read. But in just the last, you know, so many years, I mean, today the Bible is the all-time world's best-selling book. It's translated in more languages, and we can just click on our cell phones and download free Bible apps, and we can see commentaries, Greek, Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
and this is just unprecedented. So in the time of the end, knowledge has increased, and we see it right now all around us.
That's true. Uncle Milty.
So what would you say to people who say that it's then futile to try and change what's happening in the world today, and we should just sit back and wait for Christ's return?
I would say, I mean, Jesus also said, occupy till I come.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a place down here, and we have things to do. And, you know, there was a time when, you know, we were slave owners, at least in the South, in America,
mm-hmm.
and that was fixed.
Right.
And so I think that there are things that leaders and government can do or not do to improve or not improve life on Earth. But when you look at the big picture,
mm-hmm.
is that sin cannot be eradicated by
mm-hmm.
legislation.
Oh, yeah.
And only God can do that. And
right.
that's what Armageddon's all about. That's where the coming of Jesus is all about, that
mm-hmm.
he's going to get rid of
right.
sin, and he's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, where there's no more sin, suffering,
mm-hmm.
sorrow, or death. and all these things will pass away. And that's the big picture, and that's the hope that we have.
Oh, absolutely. And so here's, you know, a thought too. I just, a lot of people thought that this what they're calling a pandemic, it was one of these pandemics written about in the Bible. And you know, early on, I remember thinking when we shut the nation down, it was actually for 27 deaths in the entire nation, I thought, we'll know. You know, when you get a real plague, you'll know. And so we were fighting the disinformation and all of the crap fest that was coming out of the media since February on this, because you could tell that, look, there's quite a difference, too. And you'll see the proof in the pudding. So when there's a real plague, boy, oh boy, there won't be two sides of information and one stopped by mainstream. You'll notice, because you'll see this happening in your neighborhood, for Pete's sakes. But we have to also know that there are a lot of forces at work that seek control. And this is a theme over and over again in the Bible. And so, of course, we have to recognize when it's control mechanism used, because I think they actually look at the people of the Christian faith, of our Christian faith, and say, oh, well, they'll think this is a plague. Like, they'll actually, you know, think that this is going on because we're telling them it's going on, and that'll resonate with them because they're reading about it. But we're going to have to get really keen in our observation of getting what actually is happening or the fear that they're trying to dispel, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When the bubonic plague hit Europe,
yeah, you know, we knew.
Black
yeah.
Death, yeah. I mean, everybody knew.
Right.
You didn't have to wonder, is this real or is this not
right.
real? And let's go back to Revelation 13:11 okay. for a minute, when it talks about the beast with two horns like a lamb that eventually speaks like a dragon. I've got my copy of the Bill of Rights right in front of me here, and it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof mm-hmm. or abridging freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people
right.
peaceably to assemble.
Right.
And I think we can see through this pandemic, I mean, we know that there is a real virus out there, but the
cure response
has been much worse than the cause, and there's a lot of,
yeah.
you know, closing down businesses, shutting down churches,
mm-hmm.
And now with big tech, with what Google and Facebook and Twitter are doing, you know,
mm-hmm. Great
stopping
point.
Free speech. I mean, all
Great
of this
point. 'Cause they
is
used
a reflection
it.
That we're moving in this direction of Revelation 13:11.
Right, because they used it. The response is what we're talking about. Because
yes.
they used, you know, what is there as the response is what is the control mechanism to shut down religion, and they did that effectively. They didn't shut down the riots. They shut down religion. So there's a problem. Shut down the churches.
And at the same time, they're trying
yeah.
to shut up religion.
Right.
I mean, Christ,
yeah.
believers,
right.
you know,
right.
they don't want
yeah.
any of that.
Right. So where do we...
That's right, but they can't stop it.
Right.
They can't stop Jesus and his word. It's going to go out anyway.
Right.
So where do we fall, let's say, on the timeline? And how does Israel wind its way into this, too? The peace
well,
deal.
As far as the timeline, at White Horse Media, which is the ministry I work for,
mm-hmm.
We don't set dates, so I can't say it's going to be
sure.
6 months, a year. You know, you said maybe 10 years,
mm-hmm.
20 years. Nobody really knows, but when you look at the big picture, I believe it's kind of like a basketball game. There's
right.
the opening buzzer, the game begins, then there's halftime, and then there's the two-minute warning, and then
uh-huh.
you get down to the end of the game. And the game started when God made the world in Genesis 1 and 2.
Right.
Halftime really was when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead
mm-hmm.
and went to heaven. And I believe now we're in the two-minute warning period. We don't know exactly when it's going to finally wind up. You know, people are looking
mm-hmm.
at Israel. They're looking at the Middle East. They're looking at anything that's happening over there. I think that when President Trump brokered this peace treaty between Israel and the United
mm-hmm.
Arab Emirates,
mm-hmm.
that was another reflection of Revelation 13:11, and that the beast with horns like a lamb, it's a very powerful nation. And I think Trump did the right thing when he, you know, tried to bring peace between these different groups. But it just shows me that Revelation 13:11 is in full play,
mm-hmm.
and this beast is here with tremendous power.
Right.
And there's so much good in America, but one of these days it's going to speak like a dragon, and I think we're seeing steps toward that.
Mm-hmm.
How close we are right now, I can't say, but I've got a 12-year-old girl
uh-huh.
and a 16-year-old teenage boy,
right.
and I would love for things to wind up soon so can, you know,
well,
they can get out of their teenage years
right.
and live in
mm-hmm.
heaven. So
right.
I'm
yes.
hoping and praying that
mm-hmm.
It's going to be soon, but I don't set dates.
So these events might take a long time to unfold because it seems like there's a lot that has to happen. And what do you feel like will happen in this country? Will we separate into four different sets of states? Will we? What do you see happening in America?
No, yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see that in Revelation 13:11. It doesn't say that the beast divides up.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it will continue to be powerful. It will influence the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
As you read the end of the chapter, it will become a superpower, and eventually it will speak like a dragon. It will use force. It will descend to the dragon, which was Satan and Rome in Old Testament times, and we're going to lose our freedom. Eventually, completely, but God will be with his people who stand for him, and at Armageddon, Jesus will come and completely get rid of evil. Evil will lose. The bad guys will lose. The good guys will win, and we can be with him if we choose to be on his side. That's kind of the big picture that I'm operating from.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I think most people, you can't look around anymore and not notice that we're going down this certain path with well-laid plants, right? I mean, you just can't, how does somebody just ignore all that? Is it kind of baffling to you?
I see the same thing, and I think that behind the scenes, there's a devil. There's a Lucifer who became Satan, and he is coordinating events with his evil angels in their council chambers, and he's planning what he's doing behind the scenes, and a lot of what we see is his activity. But again, we need to have a hopeful perspective that God's on his throne. He's in charge. He knows exactly what's going on in this world. He's going to win. He's going to get rid of sin, and everything is going to work out wonderfully when it's all over for those that want to be on his side.
Uncle Milton.
You know, and we can't keep ignoring the fact that there are people on this earth who choose Satan over God.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's an interesting unfolding of events, we'll say that. And who wins in the end?
Yeah, and here's one more quick text.
Which we all know. Uh-huh.
In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near.
Right.
So likewise, you, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors."
Right.
And that's one of the chapters in Approaching Armageddon is, it is near at the doors. And we look at all the signs, we know we're getting closer, but we don't know the exact day.
Right. Wars, rumors of wars, all kinds
There's
just so many things. And I think, you know, I've noticed, I don't know if you have too, but there's a great kind of hearkening going on for people where they go, and an awakening where they go, maybe I ought to look in that direction.
A lot of people are feeling that. They're feeling a hole inside. They need something. And what they need is God and his love and Jesus and his forgiveness and his power to live a life that is a good life.
Yeah. I mean, we all want that, don't we? We just want a good life. And I was listening to a song that said just that as I was coming into the studio today. We just want a good life. And so I do think a lot of people are becoming more aware. Where can they get the book Approaching Armageddon, Steve Wahlberg?
Sure. The simplest place is our website, whitehorsemedia.com, whitehorsemedia.com. We've got it right on the homepage. They can click and they can get it. We also have it as a video course or the book, whatever they like. But that's where we are, Whitehorse Media.
You know, if there was ever a time in our history where I think that we ought to just kind of stop putting our head in the sand and just only trying to, you know, get through our lives, we better kind of look around and see what else is going on and look for some other answers. And I'll tell you what, it's a huge topic right now. And that's why even on live radio across the nation right now, I felt it was important to cover this because there's just so many people wondering in the back of their mind these very questions. Approaching Armageddon is the book. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate
you. You're welcome, Kate.
All right.
Thank you so much, and Uncle Milty. I appreciate it very much. God
bless you.
Thank you. You too. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.